Hi there. Let's talk about something interesting today. Have you tried dating apps? That's D-A-T-I-N-G-A-P-P-S. Let's look at the world of dating apps, learn some key English vocabulary, which is good to know whether you're going dating or not, and let's talk about how dating apps are used. What's wrong with them? If you've tried them, do you like them? Or are you one of the growing number of people who has grown to hate dating apps? As a psychotherapist, I get to hear about trends in dating, how people find a partner, how people find love, if you like. And I have a front row seat for what's going on with dating apps. So many difficulties, so many things that can go wrong. And one of the things that people find a problem and hate sometimes are the dating apps themselves. There's a whole movement towards IRL, or in real life dating. So join me today in some interesting English language learning. Hear about the problems people have with dating apps and stay with me until the end where I talk about a possible new solution, a social experiment, which aims perhaps to take the place of those dating apps and make meeting someone that bit easier. Interested? Listen on. Oh, and of course, there will be lots of lovely English language vocabulary covered. Vocabulary for dating and personal relationships. And if you want more, there's a podcast specifically on the vocabulary we use in the UK for dating. That's Adept English Podcast number 633. So today, you're learning English language, a bit about British culture, and how it may be very different from your own. Hello, I'm Hilary, and you're listening to Adept English. We will help you to speak English fluently. All you have to do is listen. So start listening now and find out how it works. Worldwide, an amazing 323 million people use online dating apps, hoping to find their match amidst a vast number of dating profiles. In the UK, apps like Hinge, Bumble and, the notorious Tinder are the most used. I say, Tinder, because that's probably the one with the worst reputation. And have you heard of Badoo? Outside of the UK, another very popular app, Badoo, B-A-D-O-O, it operates in 190 countries and is available in 47 languages, making it the world's most widely used dating network. 400 million registered users of Badoo, though it is also a social networking site, meaning you can use it simply to meet people with similar interests, not just for relationships and dating. And these apps are actually big business. How much money do these companies make? Well, apparently the dating app market made $5.34 billion revenue worldwide in 2022. So that's big business. You can be assured, wherever big business is involved, making a profit and answering to shareholders is priority number one. That's just a reality. But the purpose of dating apps is essentially a positive one. They're used just to connect people who wouldn't otherwise meet, who then meet up in person and take it from there. It's really like going to an estate agency when you want to buy a house, or a recruitment agency if you want to get a job. You'd probably think of doing those things as sensible. And logistically, dating apps make it easier. And this can be especially so if you're gay, G-A-Y, meaning you would like a same-sex relationship. You've got a smaller pool of people, so going online makes sense. But dating apps can be useful for anyone. You might be young and starting out, or you may have been in a relationship for many years. Dating apps certainly can work and be a good way to meet people. However, is there a darker side to online dating? Georgina Lawton, writing in the British newspaper The Guardian recently, certainly think so. She says that just like with many computer games, psychologists have been consulted in the design of dating apps in how to make them more addictive ADDICTIVE. That means that the companies use psychological tactics to keep people using the apps. Georgina Lawton thinks it's quite easy to become addicted, meaning you can't stop using dating apps. And the psychological roller coaster, meaning the ups and downs of feelings which you might experience using these apps, well, they make them more addictive too. Here's a quote from Georgina Lawton so you can practice more difficult English. She says, "Having a digital smorgasbord of global partners at our fingertips convinces us there's always a better option if we just keep on looking." Does this mean perhaps that people don't always treat each other with respect? And does it mean that we're never quite satisfied? There might be a better option. Before I go further, please do something for us. Share our podcast. That's share, S-H-A-R-E. And it means tell someone else about the Adept English podcast. You could do that in a conversation, or you could send them a link, or even better, if you're on Spotify, use the Spotify share option. This really helps Adept English. We reach more listeners that way. Thank you for doing that. It protects the future of Adept English. Now, let me scope out the range of use for online dating apps. At one end, the UK is a multicultural society. So there are also people who, for religious or cultural reasons, accept that their parents and their families want to have some input, some influence over their choice of partner, especially choice over their eventual husband or wife. And there exist websites specifically to enable suitable people to be found, often someone with the same background and religion. And the two people involved usually do have some choice. There's a dating process so you can decide whether you want to go ahead or not. So it's not that dissimilar. And at the same time, the UK is quite a liberal society, and it's generally seen as okay by many people if you want to just hook up with someone. That's the verb we use to hook up, H-O-O-K, when it's just for sex. It's generally regarded that as long as the two people involved are adults and no one gets hurt, it's up to them. It's okay. I realise this may be very different from your country, but this liberal stance is there in many parts of Europe and North America too. And I make no judgment about that. But what I'm talking about today is people who use dating apps because they actually want to find a partner, a relationship. So problems that people looking for a relationship report with general online dating apps, well, some of the people on there just don't behave nicely. Sorry if you're a man, but my experience as a therapist is that much more of that bad behaviour comes from men towards women. Or maybe that's just the people I see in my practice. But top of the list in terms of bad behaviour is ghosting someone. That's to ghost as a verb, G-H-O-S-T. And it means to disappear, like a ghost. To have some sort of dating interaction with someone and then just hang up the phone. Meaning you're never seen or heard from again, and you don't reply to messages. This ghosting can happen online when people are just talking, getting to know one another, much less harmed on there. But ghosting can happen after dates too. If you've met someone a couple of times and you've decided they're not for you, be polite. Let them know. Ghosting is horrible, inconsiderate, rude, and hurts people's feelings. Another thing that people complain about, those who are full of themselves. On a first date, the person may manage to seem okay, but on the second and third dates, do they ask about you? Or do they just talk about themselves? And if they ask about you, do they actually listen and remember what you say? This is quite telling. Can they sustain interest in another person's world? Another thing, people who seem content to be on online dating apps and talk to other people, but then who never quite agree to meeting up. A dating app isn't supposed to be an end in itself, but apparently there are quite a lot of people who are secretly on dating apps, but also in long-term relationships. What they seem to get out of it is that they can flirt, be admired, be reassured that people still find them attractive, all behind their long-term partner's back. And probably these people say to themselves, I'm not doing anything wrong. I've not actually met anyone. Can you see why people think dating apps bring out the worst behaviour in people? Another complaint, again, this tends to be from women, men who want to make it sexual too soon. Respect is required, and making assumptions around sex is probably one of the worst things. But above all, the complaint I hear most often about online dating is just hard work. People can feel this particularly when they've been pursuing a connection with someone for several weeks or months and it just doesn't work out. They have to start over again. And it can feel like the same old getting to know you conversations, which are tedious and repetitive. The Manchester Evening News interviewed people asking what turned them off using online dating apps. What made them go, ugh? Well, the list included people who are slow texters, where you have to wait days for their reply. Another complaint, not enough information on the profile page, or the alternative, too much information, which might make the person seem big-headed. A whole podcast could probably be written on the subject of people's profile photographs. Which ones do they choose and what does it say about them? Naturally, people are seeking alternatives to dating apps. If you meet IRL in real life, you might meet someone at work. That's fine if you work with people who are eligible, the kind of person that you might want a relationship with. But if you don't, it's a problem. People sometimes have hobbies that bring them into contact with the group they're interested in. But without that in your life, it really is just down to chance. Who do you meet when you go out in the evening? There are some things you can sign up for, which mean you meet people possibly to date in real life. Cooking classes, for instance, singles holidays, and of course, speed dating. That's S-P-E-E-D. This is an organised event where two groups of people who may be matched meet and have a timed conversation with others, say 3 to 5 minutes. For assessing whether you find someone attractive or not, I guess that probably works. But the ones I've heard about in London say heterosexual speed dating, the problem has been many more women than men, which doesn't work quite so well. So amidst all of this, a social experiment is going on. Have you heard about pear rings? That's pear, P-E-A-R, like the fruit, and a ring, R-I-N-G, that you wear on your finger. A social experiment for a one-off price, you can become one of a community of pear ring wearers. It actually seems quite expensive in a way for what you get. 3 little turquoise rings. But really, what you are purchasing is a membership of a worldwide community, which will become more useful as the number of people grow. You wear your pear ring when you're out, and it signals to other people that you are single and looking for someone to date. Pear, say, if the 1.2 billion single people around the world wore a little green ring on their finger to show they're single, we wouldn't need dating apps. IRL connection is the mission. How well this works, I guess, is still becoming apparent. It needs a fair number of people to sign up, and it needs more people to recognise the ring and understand its meaning. I've yet to meet anyone yet who's found a relationship through wearing a pear ring, but it's an interesting idea. Whether or not that works, I do understand the wish people have to go back to meeting people in real life. Let us know what you think. This is an interesting topic and there's probably much more to say about it. I've covered some really useful vocabulary today if you're going dating in English. Anyway, enough for now. Have a lovely day. Speak to you again soon. Goodbye. Thank you so much for listening. Please help me tell others about this podcast by reviewing or rating it. And please share it on social media. You can find more listening lessons and a free English course at adeptenglish.com.